24 hours in the life of Jesus. Next on The Balanced Word.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
John chapter 6 features an amazing miracle where Jesus feeds approximately 12,000 hungry people. Imagine that. But here's the amazing part. He did it with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Pastor Dave Rolfe believes this is so much more than just a story about a bunch of people getting fed. Jesus is wanting to teach his disciples and us an important lesson on what it means to follow him. So let's join Pastor Dave in John chapter 6 for today's balanced word.
Well, we've come to John chapter 6, so if you have a Bible, turn over to John chapter 6. We are going through the Gospel of John, taking one chapter at a time. Some of these chapters in John are really long. John chapter 6 has 71 verses. Most people know this chapter for the story that it begins with, which we usually call the feeding of the 5,000, when Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children, so probably 12,000 or so people, out of 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that is a great story, and it certainly is where it all begins. But I want to take a look at the whole story of the entire chapter, because this chapter records basically 24 hours or so in the life of Jesus with his disciples. And it's just so rich that I think if you just look at, oh, it's neat, they got to eat, and you know, that you might miss a lot of what's going on here in this passage. So, but we will begin by looking at the feeding of the 5,000. This is the only miracle in the Bible that all 4 Gospels tell this story. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell about the feeding of the 5,000, which makes it a unique story. It made an impression on people. Another time, Jesus fed 4,000 people, but he used a little bit more food and they had a little less left over. So Matthew and Mark record both the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, but Luke and John only the feeding of the 5,000. So John chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. Jesus was beginning to get a following, because who would not? Now, if you're sick, you certainly wanted to go visit him, because a lot of people were being made well. But healing is a great spectator sport as well, because you just get to watch and see what happens. And so he was really building up a crowd, and we end up finding out it's thousands of people are now following him. And so it says, they followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and all these people were following him. And it was the Passover, Feast of Jews was near. And so Jesus then, in verse 5, lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, to test Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. He probably singled out Philip because Philip lived in that area, according to tradition. And so, but his whole thing wasn't like, huh, what are we going to do? It was, hey, Philip, I want to engage you in recognizing what these issues are, what's happening. We've got a bunch of people, and how are we going to feed them? And to Philip, no doubt, I mean, it was definitely a test, because his thought was, are you kidding me? How in the world could we do it? Because he answered and said, 200 denarii worth of bread, a couple of years' wages, is not sufficient for them, that every one of them could just eat a little. We can't even feed them hors d'oeuvres. There's so many people. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? So he's like, look, there's one kid that has food. Now, how did they find out that out of all those thousands of people that there was one kid who actually brought a lunch? And you also have to wonder, 12,000 people, nobody else brought any food? Or were they sneaking it because they didn't want to share? But this kid had this. Barley loaves were not the tastiest of breads. They were the kind of stuff you'd feed to the animals. It's not that great, but that's what he had. And they said, but what in the world is that with so many people here? And Jesus said, make the people sit down. A couple of the other gospels point out that he had them sit in groups of hundreds and groups of 50, but they organized them. And so the men sat down in number about 5,000. There were 5,000 men, but there were probably, usually there were more women than men following Jesus, plus some of them had kids, so probably at least 12,000 people total. So Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So Jesus says, you guys get the people to sit down, get them organized. And here, I'm going to give you the food, and you're going to give it to them. And they did. And as it says in verse 12, when they were filled, the people were just completely stuffed. He said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost, which is kind of an interesting thing to say. I don't want to waste any of it. So get the scraps that are left over. And therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. And so they collected the leftovers, which were basically scraps of barley loaf. There was no fish left. And there were 12 baskets, there were 12 disciples. Now, if you are involved in ministry, you usually find out that the people who serve eat last. I know that together, we have a together this week. And there will be many of you who will be serving. You'll get behind the tables and you'll help give everybody the food and get things ready. And a lot of times people will just say, oh, aren't you going to eat? I'll eat. But the thing is, I don't mind if we run out of food and I don't get any. And that's the way the people who are serving feel. They're like the people who are really dedicated. So if they don't get food, they just realize that's okay. We want the people. We want new people. We want, you know, people who are, you know, brought by their friends and stuff. We want to make sure they get food. Now, there's almost always food left over. And so you can certainly eat if you serve. Quite often, the leftovers aren't quite like what the food was for the person who's, there are some people who get here really early to make sure they're first in line. By the time it's left over, some of the stuff that you like is gone, or it's cold, or it's salad, you know, but but that's kind of what happened here. It's like they served, and now they got leftovers of kind of barley. Now, the way they would eat in the Middle East, the way they would eat loaves, it wasn't like a biscuit like we would think of, but it was kind of a flat bread, and they would use that as the plate. So they would put other tasty stuff on it, and then as the juice from the food would soak into the bread, at the end, the bread was sort of like dessert. It was like cake at the end because it had that flavor, and you'd finish it off by eating, you know, kind of like up in San Francisco when they have the sourdough bread with, you know, the soup inside it. So then after they did all that and they're like, oh, I'm so full, there's chunks left over that people had been eating. And then they're like, okay, collect that, guys. Each of you gets a doggy bag. There's 12 of them and 12 of you. So they got their food. And, you know, they gathered all that up. But look at verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, they were so impressed by the miracle, they said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Perfect. Isn't that what you would expect? He does this miracle, and they're like, hey, this is the Messiah. But look at the next verse. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now it looks like a failure. You fed people, and what they got from it is, we're going to make you run for king. We're going to put you into office. This will be awesome. And he's like, eh, nope. He goes off, as he often did, went up to the mountains to be alone with the Father. And reflecting on this and seeing it. For the disciples, it's like, wow, we did all this. We've got our doggy bags, and now Jesus is gone, and these people are kind of confused. And, you know, what do we do? Well, he must have told them to get into the boat because they ended up, it's beginning to get dark, so they went down to the sea and got in a boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum. They were in Tiberias, which is on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, about halfway down, and they were going to Capernaum, which is at the north end of the Sea of Galilee. And so they took off in the boat. It's at night. It's stormy. They had gone a few miles. It's about a four and a half mile boat ride to get there. And it's dark and it's stormy. And then, you know, the story as it continues, it says in verse 19, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming toward the boat. And they were afraid. They thought it was a ghost. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. What a day. You start out in the evening. You get to serve thousands of people. See this miracle. Hear that people are like, "Whoa, yeah, you're the Messiah." And Jesus is like, "I'm out of here." He takes off. You're in the boat. It's like, wow, it's been a long day. We were serving people. How long would it take to serve that many people from 12 guys? But it's over. Now you're in the boat. We're just going home. Capernaum is where they lived. And so then it's stormy. And it's like, oh, man, where's Jesus when we need him? Oh, here I am. And he's walking across the water. John here doesn't tell about Peter saying, "Hey, can I come walk with you?" And Jesus is like, "Yeah, sure." And he got to walk. He and Peter were kind of rivals, and he may have left that part of the story out because then the people would be going, "John, how come you didn't get out and walk on the water?" So he was probably torn, though, because he probably loved the part where Peter sunk. But, you know, but in order to sink, you have to walk. So they finally got to where they were heading, to Capernaum, and it's now the next morning, so it's, you know, 10 hours or so after the miracle had happened, and the people came along, and, well, in verse 24 it says, because when the people saw that he wasn't there in Tiberias anymore, they all got in boats and headed to Capernaum, figuring he would be going home. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. They're looking for him. And when they found him in verse 25 on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" They're like, they tried to act like they just happened to bump into him. "Oh, hey, funny to meet you here." And Jesus right away just calls them on what their motives were. Look at verse 26. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, you're not seeking me even because you saw the signs, but you're looking for me because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." And down in verse 29, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." How frustrating must that have been for Jesus to have done miracles, served these people, and now here they are, they're wanting to follow him because they want more bread. They're like, "That stuff was pretty good. So I wanted to be here to get the deal the next time you start dishing it out." And he calls them on it. He's going, "You guys first came because you wanted to see miracles. Because that's what it said in the beginning. They heard about all his signs, and so they came and wanted to see it. Now, you're like, you just want the bread. You just want to be fed again. And as he gives them that lecture, look at, you know, there in verse 30, where he said to them, or they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? They're like, okay, so you want us to believe in you. You don't just want us to get bread. So what's in it for us? Can you at least do a miracle? They probably took it as being, oh, he liked it when we came to see miracles. He didn't like it when we came to get bread. So what else are you going to do? And then with this one-track hungry mind that they had, they said, verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they're like, oh, bread, yeah, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Skip down to verse 40. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So Jesus is trying to take them to another level. He's like, I gave you bread. You were hungry. But you need to understand, I'm the real bread. In the same way that bread sustains you and strengthens you, in the same way that you crave bread when you haven't eaten, in a deeper, greater sense, spiritually speaking, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. Just like manna was in those days, I am in your days. I am the bread of life. And they're confused. But in verse 41, it says the Jews complained about him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And they're like, how can you say you came down from heaven? They go on to say, yeah, you're Joseph's son. You're Mary's son. Come on. You didn't come from heaven. We know where you came from. Why do you say that? And Jesus told them, you know, quit murmuring. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Your problem is the Father isn't drawing you. And he goes on to talking about everything he got. He learned from the Father. Then in verse 46, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. In other words, you haven't seen the Father, but I have. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And the Jews are like, what's he talking about? Eating his flesh. This just keeps getting weirder and weirder. And again, they don't even know how to argue with him about it. But Jesus doubles down. He goes, look, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Whoa. Now it's really getting weird. I mean, it was cool when you're like giving people bread. Nice. You're healing people. That's nice. Now you're saying you are bread? That sounds a little weird. And we're like, okay, in what sense? You must be speaking metaphorically. You must be saying that somehow spiritually, but I don't know, you're just a guy. We know where you were born. We know where you came from. This is delusional. And he's like, okay, then let me clear things up for you. If you don't eat my flesh, and if you don't drink my blood, you're done. You have nothing. You are not going to be alive. Now, they're like, cannibalism? This is lunacy. This is completely nuts. Now, for Jews who would, you know, they weren't allowed to eat flesh when the blood was in it. They certainly weren't allowed to have participate with drinking blood at all. That was something that the heathens would do. For them, that would be like unheard of. And at this point, you would expect Jesus to say, now, let me explain. I'm speaking in spiritual terms. And he does. He goes on and says, the words I say are spirit and they are life. But he doesn't give a decent explanation. He lets them have their misunderstanding. And the result is, from a human standpoint, disastrous. Because look, as you read down to verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus had lots of people following him. Remember, it's less than 24 hours before, he has 12,000 people who are following him. There's a bunch of them who are willing to go across the Sea of Galilee, in order to continue to follow him, to be taught by him, because they want to participate with him. They really hope that he will be their king. He's like on a roll, and then he goes and drops this on them. You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. How many of you would come to church next Sunday if today I got up here and go, okay, look, it's time for you guys to eat my body and to drink my blood. The Lord bless thee. Yeah. You'd be like, he's finally losing it. As we always knew he was on edge, but this is absolutely nuts. So Jesus manages in one day to go from having 12,000 disciples to having only 12. And then look what he says to the 12. Aren't you guys leaving too in verse 67? Do you also want to go away? I think they probably did. But Peter piped up and said, Lord, we don't have any place to go. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we're coming to believe, we're beginning to understand and know that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. What you're saying is weird, but we have decided to stake our future on you.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. As we go through the Gospel of John together, there may come a time when you'd like to hear a message again. You can do so rather easily at thebalancedword.com or call and request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. By the way, we're making this complete series in John available to you on a thumb drive for a donation of $10 or more. Go through this powerful gospel from start to finish with Pastor Dave. Again, call 949-362-7475 and we can help you with that. Please remember, it's your support that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to the radio every day. Thank you for standing with us. Again, we can be reached at 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. We'd like to invite you to visit us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Pastor Dave Rolfe teaches most weekends. And you can hear him teach the Word Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. He always enjoys meeting his listeners, so please say hi after the service. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Reflecting for a bit on today's passage from John chapter 6, here again is Pastor Dave.
So we would look at this day as a major failure. If I, you know, preach today in church, and there's this many people here, and then next Sunday I come and there's nobody here, you know, but staff, and a couple of them called in sick, I'd be like, man, I think I missed the boat. I must have said something that really drove people away. But Jesus had that kind of a day where it's like it's booming and people are following him and they want to make him king. And by the end of the 24-hour period, there's just these 12 guys still hanging out. And that's the story, is that how in the world can you go from this to this?
We'll finish up our look at the feeding of the 5,000 next time on The Balanced Word, as Pastor Dave Rolfe continues through John's Gospel. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.